Find, if you would, Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter 3 will be our text today. If you want to follow along in your bulletin or take notes, you may feel free to do that as the outline there. I'll give it throughout the message. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." You understand that they're getting ready to come into the land of promise. They're getting ready to come into the land of Canaan. It's been 40 years since they'd come out of the nation of Egypt. 40 years they had been in the wilderness. Moses, the lawgiver, is now dead. Many of the generation, except for Caleb and Joshua, has now passed off the scene. And there by that river sat millions and millions of Jews getting ready to cross that river into the promise that God had given to them. It came to pass, after 3 days, that's how long they sat there, that the officers went through the host. And they commended the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it." Now this was a change for them. You remember, through the wilderness, they followed the what? They followed the something by day and something by night. They followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But going into the promised land, that's not following them. Now they will keep their eyes upon the ark and they will follow this direction. Verse 4. "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure," about a mile. "Come not near unto it, that you might know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and they went before the people. Very, very famous, very well-known passage of Scripture is the crossing of the Jordan River into the land of Canaan for the nation of Israel. Inside this text, you find a verse that God uses in our lives very frequently, and I find that I use it a lot in counsel. I find that we come face to face with it a lot in our lives, in our daily routine. And the text there is verse number 4 at the end of that verse. "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Now I want to preach you a message entitled "Facing Tomorrow." Tomorrow is a big day for the 200 some thousand students of Broward County. Some of them are in this room today and they will be going to school. And for many, it will be a new day. It'll be a new teacher. It'll be a new school building. It'll be new friends and new curriculums. Maybe for a few, it will be the same as they had last year. I almost had to do that one time. I hope that's not true. But for most of them, it'll be a new day. And it's a day that anytime you have something new, it always has an uncertainty to it. And I'm sure that your kids will be excited as my kids are excited, and facing the unknown and the uncertainty can sometimes bring a little bit of nervousness or insecurity, a little bit of excited energy, and so on and so forth. And I wanted to preach a message that would kind of help us, not just our students, but help all of us when it comes to facing tomorrow. And I want to use that word tomorrow in verse number 5, and really and truthfully link that word with the thought of uncertainty or unknown. A lot of times we will use the phrase or the word tomorrow to describe our uncertainties. You may have said this once in a while: "Man, I'm really not looking forward to tomorrow." Now, you might have a doctor's appointment. You might have some kind of interview. You may have some kind of reprimand or some kind of accountability, some kind of challenge. And we don't know all that's going to go with that. So we lump it up and say, man, I'm really not looking forward to tomorrow. Sometimes I meet people and say, Pastor, pray for me. It's going to be a rough day tomorrow. Pastor, I'm not excited about tomorrow. And we use that phrase to describe or to measure or to explain the insecurity we have because of the uncertainty of the moment. And Joshua chapter 3 is one of the great passages here that we're able to watch a people that are at the brink of uncertainty as they sit by that river's edge. And they've got an awesome day tomorrow. And God is giving them some instruction on how to handle the uncertainty of the moment. 40 years they've been in the wilderness out of Egypt. Now they're getting ready to cross over, and they're sitting there by the river, and we're told by the Bible scholars at this time that that river is flowing over its banks. So when you look at the river, it's not a picturesque little river that would be easy to cross. It's a river that has danger to it and has intensity to it. It's a river that has intimidation to it as it is flowing at this time. If you remember, 40 years ago, it was the intimidation of the height of the land of Canaan, and they were giants, and they were like grasshoppers. And so 40 years ago, it was a different intimidation and uncertainty. Now they're sitting in front of this river, and they're facing that again in their life. And I have found that we not only will school students face uncertain days tomorrow, but many of God's people face uncertain days. You may face uncertainty in your job. You may face uncertainty with a problem in, of some way, maybe in your health or maybe in a relationship. We face uncertainty through changes, and we face all throughout our lives, we will face uncertainty. And sometimes you just sum it up by saying, man, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. And so I want to use this passage of Scripture, and I want to teach you this morning and preach to you on how to face your tomorrows. Number one, Roman numeral number one, if you're taking notes in your bulletin, write this phrase down: the uncertain future. The uncertain future. I want to say a few things about the uncertainty of the future. And there's four of them listed there, and you can write them down. The first one is the thought of the uncertainty of the future is a fact. F-A-C-T. The fact of an uncertain future. Listen to what James said about our tomorrows, and I'm going to read it to you in James chapter 5. He said this about your life and about your tomorrow: whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So James says it is a fact that tomorrows will be uncertain. He goes on to say, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So the first thing I want you to realize about life and about uncertainties and about your tomorrows is that there is a fact that the future is uncertain. You're never going to get away from that. You're never going to find a place where life is just without uncertainties. Now, uncertainty makes us insecure. We don't like it. We like to have all of our ducks in a row. But you better learn, Christian, that only God knows the future. By the way, just let me say some things, and I'll say them kindly. I hope none of you in this room have ever had your palm read. I hope you don't visit Madam So-and-so or whoever. If you want a reading, I'm probably cheaper than them. Come see me Tuesday to Friday. I hope you don't tell me nobody at Plantation Baptist Church, where we preach and teach the Bible, please tell me that we don't read the horoscope and all that. I mean, I hope you don't have those cards and you try to predict your day with cards. I'm not beating on you. I'm just telling you this. Only God knows the future. And all of that is demonic and filled with demonism and filled with spiritism. And the devil doesn't know the future. Remember, the devil's not God. The devil's not eternal. The devil has not always been. There was a day when he was created. Now, he will live forever just like any person that has ever been created or has been born. But he's not God. He doesn't know the future. He can make you doubt the future. He can bring up the past and he can kind of affect your mind toward that. But only God knows the future. And it is a fact that the future does have uncertainty. But then there's also a fascination to it. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse number 1. It says that they lodged there at the end of that verse before they passed over. I find so many people that don't understand that there's a fact that there will always be uncertainty, and they don't understand that God knows the future, and so they lose out on the fascination of tomorrow. Here we have a battle between pessimism and optimism. Here we have somebody that has no hope or no joy in tomorrow, and they wish that tomorrow would never come. Or you have the opposite, who look forward to tomorrow. Now listen, I understand this. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And every one of you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us that know God as our Savior, for tomorrow, our tomorrows ought to be filled with optimism. Now understand, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we should be excited about tomorrow. Amazes me how many Christians loathe tomorrow. And they don't like it because it's filled with uncertainty. Listen, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the thought of tomorrow. You ought to have a vision. You ought to have goals. You ought to have dreams. What are you doing with your life? Where's God taking your life? You ought to be able to have and understand the plan of God. It's not wrong to have those things and not wrong to plan about tomorrow, as long as you say, if the Lord will. See, we're not God, so we can't really order our tomorrow. The Bible says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so, as I look at tomorrow, and as I look at the future, and I look at uncertainty, it's not wrong to make plans, but all my plans better be submitted to the hand of God. And there ought to be a fascination about that, and an enjoyment about that. Here at the nation of Israel, they're getting excited, and I imagine that there's optimism growing, and I imagine that they're looking and thinking about the promised land. They're thinking about the days as they're going to cross over. It amazes me how many people don't even want to think about the future. Pastor, that's just too much for me. I need to stay in the now and now. Well, you're missing out on a blessing. Why? Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Look at the end. Here was the promise of Joshua said to the nation of Israel. Tomorrow the Lord will do, say it, wonders. Wonders. Do you believe that God still does miracles? You believe he does wonders? Amen. So as a child of God, I believe that my tomorrow is under the leadership and authority and hand of God. And I don't have to worry about that. He's caring for me. And so tomorrow, the uncertainty of tomorrow is not a weight that I bear that crushes me into pessimism. The uncertainty of tomorrow is that, man, I get to serve the Lord. I don't know where God's going to take my life. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to work it out. But I know this. He said, all things work together for good. Amazes me how pessimistic God's people are. If there's ever anybody that ought to have a smile on their face, it should be a born-again Christian. Try it. Smile. There. You look better now. Amen. All right. Uncertain future is a fact. There's a fascination to it. But also there's a fear that comes about it. There's a fear. 40 years ago, the nation of Israel missed out on the blessing of God because they gave in to the fear. Oh, they paid a horrible price, a horrible price. And so many people fear uncertainty in their life. And so they fear tomorrow, or they fear the future. And so they never, ever take a step of faith. God calls, God leads them, God gives them instruction. But because they can't see it fully, they don't trust it. Let me tell you something about God. God is never going to let you see your life in totality. You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it. If you think about your life right now, and if you're walking with the Lord, and you think about the sorrow, the hardship, the tragedy, the trials, the mountains, the valleys, and all that you came with. I mean, if God would have said when you were 18 that your life was going to look like it did when you're 60 now, you would have thought, no way. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But now you look back and you say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feared no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. You look back at your life and you say, to God be the glory, great things he had done. You look at, back at your life and you fall on your face and you say, thank you, God, for your wonderful hand in my life. If God told you your whole life, you couldn't handle it. So he gives it to us moment by moment. And so, but the mentality is, That uncertainty always is going to be negative in my life. So if I don't understand it or see it, then it has too much opportunity to hurt me. And so fear comes in. And I think, well, I'll just stay right here, because I feel safe right here. You might feel safe right here, but the wonders of God are over here. And you can play it safe all you want, but I'm going to tell you something. Safety is never in a place. Safety is in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus will come, and he will lead us. And Joshua says, now, guys, listen, tomorrow God is going to do wonderful things in our lives. And you have to understand that uncertainty is not negative. It's not negative. God will use that to bless you. And the response is not by fear, it's by faith. And then there's a force to uncertain days. And I love this verse in verse number 5. It's not a force that's against me, it's a force that's for me. Uncertain days ought to be an inspiration to us. Joshua says, let it inspire you to be prepared. Look at verse number 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So Joshua said, now listen, let the thought of uncertain days inspire you to be right today. Basically, what he's saying is this: tomorrow belongs to God. Today belongs to you. So tomorrow, God's going to do this. Today, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to set yourself apart. You need to know the holiness of God. You need to walk with him. You need to have this preparation. Let me tell you something, church. The reason most of us are scared out of our mind about uncertainty and it paralyzes us is because we don't necessarily walk with the Lord consistently every day. And so when I'm not walking with the Lord in that manner, I begin to lose trust in him. Not that he's ever lost the ability to be trusted, but I don't know it. And so then when uncertainty comes about me and I'm not prepared on that day, I will never survive tomorrow. And it's not so much evident of the terror of tomorrow. It more evidences the weakness of my life today. The reason most of God's people never step out by faith into uncertain days and know the wonders of God is not really because the way's too hard. It's because our walk's not right. Do you understand that? Say amen if you understand that. It's not really a disclaimer or an exposition of God's fault. It just exposes me. And Joshua says, now listen, we're going to cross this river. And we're going over here to what God has for us. And yes, it's uncertain. But I'm telling you, tomorrow, God is going to do wonders. Be right today. You'll never handle an uncertain tomorrow if you're not handling a certain today. You must understand that. The uncertainties of the future. There's a fact, there's a fear or a fascination, there's a fear, and then there's a force that will inspire me to be prepared today. Now, with an uncertainty of the future, there are some things that help us handle those uncertainties, and those are certainties. Certainties help us handle uncertainty. So Roman numeral 2 is the certainties of the future. And what are the certainties of the future? Well, if you remember, here's what Moses told him in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I won't turn you there, but I'll tell you about it. Moses said, "Now, nation of Israel, I'm dying and I'm giving you my last direction. And my direction is remember God, remember the Lord who hath done and who is leading." And so Moses wanted the nation of Israel to understand that they were going to come into times of uncertainty. And when they came into those moments of uncertainty, the one certain thing they could remember was the past faithfulness of God. Man, do we need that in our lives? We have to find security somewhere. And there are some certain things that we can find security in. And one of those things is the past faithfulness of God. So here's the nation of Israel, and they're standing here at this river. And yes, this river is wide, and this river is deep, and this river is flowing, and this river is dangerous. But I promise you, that river was smaller than the Red Sea. So the nation of Israel standing here before this river, and instead of cowering in that position, they're remembering what God had done at the Red Sea. And so here's what God will do. God will lead you in your life, and he'll bring you and direct you, and they will be uncertain days. But he's got wonders and good involved for you. And when you come to those moments, you've got to learn how to go back and build yourself and strengthen yourself on what God previously has done for you. The same God that helped you in the past is the very same present God we serve today. Amen. When you look at the new, don't forget the old. And here's where the devil hammers us. The devil will try to rob you from the past blessing of God. And the devil's going to come to you, and the devil's going to tell you, when you find yourself in that moment of uncertainty, and you find yourself in that moment where you've got to step out and trust the Lord, and you're going to go back and you're going to remember the past, and the devil's going to come to you, and he's going to come to you with his number one weapon, and his number one weapon is doubt. And he is going to try to steal that security from you by bringing you to a position where you doubt what God can do. And you doubt how it happened. The devil's going to come and say, I know God did that last time, but he can't handle this one. Oh, no. It was easier for God last time than it's going to be for this time. Oh, no. See, you were a different person, but don't you remember that thing you did last night? Oh, no. God didn't do that for you. God did that for somebody else. You just happened to be there. Let me tell you something. Don't let anybody steal from you the past blessing and authority that God has in your life. And he will come and he will try to get you to doubt those things. And so let's expand on this just a little bit. When Moses was telling them to remember, he's telling them to remember on a twofold basis. He's telling them to remember the past, remember what you learned about God, and remember what you learned about yourself. He's saying, when you come to these moments of uncertainty, you got to remember that you've been here before. And you discovered that God is faithful, God is powerful, God is able to provide, God is a wonderful help and blessing. You remembered his patience, his long suffering, his mercy. You remembered that he wasn't late, he was on time. You remember how he walked with you during those times. And then you also learned some things about yourself. You remember that last time you chickened out and you didn't do what he wanted and you missed out. Or last time you made a mistake here and here's what you paid. And you learned some things about yourself. You take all of that past, what you've discovered about yourself, what you've discovered about God, and you reckon on that. And the certainty is that our Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my friend, he's sufficient. Amen. He's sufficient in our lives. But can you imagine how how patient God must be with us. Because he meets us over here in the past, and then he leads us to another thing, and we have the audacity to look at him and say, you can't handle this one. You're never going to meet it here. You're never going to do this. And God is just so patient and caring about us. And one of the certainties of handling the future is to know the past, that God, that those blessings that he has. And if God, if you're facing a river and you've already crossed the sea, then you go forward in that. Number two, another certainty is the present. If you look at this passage, they have in verse number one, Joshua. If you look at verse number two, they have the ark of God, and they have the and they have the Levites there. The ark, Joshua, and the Levites. All three of these things represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God now has changed how he's leading them. They're not going to follow the pillar of fire or the cloud. Now they're going to follow the Joshua. They're going to follow the ark. And they're going to follow the priest. Joshua is a type of Christ. The ark represents Christ. And the priest, Jesus, is the great high priest. And so where they look into the past to the faithfulness of God, now they look to the present in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst. Let me tell you something. Every day is a settled day when Jesus is involved. We face uncertain days, but they're not uncertain to him. The Bible says he's called the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible's called the truth. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth. And so when you're looking at uncertainty, you should be able to look back and see the faithfulness of God. But in that moment, your eyes are to be upon the Lord, upon his word. Let me tell you something. This word is forever settled. It is truth. You can trust it with your whole life. And Joshua said, now, don't get too close. I want you to stay about a mile back. And that way, man, there's millions of people there. And that way, when we turn, you'll know where to turn. And when we stop, you'll know where to stop. And if we speed up, you'll know where to speed up. Let me tell you something. There is a way, verse number four, that you have never passed. But our God is eternal. And the Lord Jesus knows the way. And we are to keep our eyes on him, even when everything is falling down around you. And when you think you're losing everything, and everything is shaking, he does not shake. He does not falter. He is the rock upon which you can stand. Watch what happens here. This is fascinating. I found this later in verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is where, class? Among you. Wow. What a statement. You know, we kind of hate uncertainty. We don't like not knowing about tomorrow. But it's usually during those times where God shows you that he is the living, all-powerful God, and he dwells among us. It's in those moments that we meet him. It's in those moments that we know his protection. It's in those moments that we know his tenderness and his leadership. And Joshua says, now listen, we're going over here, and it's uncertain. I'm telling you, tomorrow God's going to do this, but we got to cross over here. But when you get in there, this is where the living God is going to show that he is among us. If you're saved in here, the living God lives in you. He's among you. So you don't have to fall down at uncertainty. You put your eyes upon the Lord. You follow him, the word, and the Spirit of God as he guides you. And you'll know his wonderful presence in your life. And then lastly, you look back to the past. You keep your eyes on Christ in the present. But then there's the future. The future also is securing because God is there. If you were to read the whole passage, you will find that they're headed to the other side. But God's already over there. He's everywhere. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll finish our time here. I want you to go Matthew chapter 6, and let me read you a passage of Scripture here. Facing tomorrow, Matthew chapter 6, you might know, but I want your eyeballs to read it if you'd be so kind. Look at verse number 31. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, what's that next word? Knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's he teaching us there? He's teaching us that, listen, we serve an eternal God who's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. He's already in our tomorrow. He already knows everything about your tomorrow. Everything you look at as uncertain, he looks at as certain. He knows every nth of it. He knows every degree, every minute of it. And he's not really bothered. He's steadfast and sure. And imagine this. It's with all the confidence in the world that he's saying, come on. Have you ever tried to lead somebody after you've already been somewhere and you know the way and you're trying to teach them how to go or how to do it and what to do? When you're the teacher and you've learned by experience and you know for sure, there's wonderful confidence there. So that's God in our life. We get over here and we look at the uncertainty of life and we're scared out of our mind. And then God's over here and God says, no, this, come on, follow me. No, don't worry about that. I got that. No, don't worry about that. I got that. Come on, follow me. No, don't step there. Yeah, step here. Come on, you're doing good. Come on. No, don't. I got that. That's okay. That's just some storms. I can quell those. No, that's okay. I got plenty of money over here. Don't worry about that. No, come on. I'll love you. I'll take care of you. Now watch your step. Stop. Come on. This is the way. Do you get the picture? How foolish is it for you and I to stand here and say, I'm not moving. Not doing it. You ever teach your kid how to swim? Were you one of those parents who just threw him in the deep and let him go? I hope not. I'd say now let go of the wall. Let go of the wall. Mm-mm. Come on, daddy's got you. Mm-mm. Let go of the wall. Let go of the wall. Let go of that wall. Swim over here. I'm going to spank you. I'm not doing it. You know, if you're in here and you're an adult and you don't know how to swim, it's kind of miserable, isn't it? And God says, what are you all worried about? I hold the future in the palm of my hand. And no man plucks you out of the palm of my hand. Listen, the certainty to the uncertain future is we serve a faithful God. We have the living Lord Jesus, his word and his spirit to guide us. And we serve the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God who cares for us, who knows we have. And he just says, now listen, all I want you to do is just seek me. Just seek first the kingdom of God. I'll take care of all this. You just follow along with me. Joshua said, today's for you, tomorrow's for God. You sanctify yourself, and tomorrow God is going to do wonders. I'm kind of, I want to say this kindly, Lord. I don't want to belong to a church that's defeated and sad. And thinks that our God is dead or never steps out by faith. I'd ask you a question. What are you risking for God right now? What are you risking for God? I ask people all the time, do you need the Lord? Yeah, I need him every day. What do you need him to do? What do you mean? No, Pastor, what do you mean? No, I ask you, what do you mean? Well, I need the Lord. To do what? I need him to help me. Help you do what? I need him to protect me. Protect you from who? Pastor, are we going to play this game long? Until you get the right answer. See, we're so quick just to throw stuff out there. No. It's time we realize we serve Jesus Christ. All powerful, risen, all authority belongs to him. And he's going to come to you and he's going to lay his will out and it's going to look uncertain. But as long as you're following him, he's got you. And you can risk it all and you will know that it's all with him. Nothing to fear. Even if it's a difficult time, he's there. His grace is sufficient, whatever it is. But let's go get some of the victories that God promised us. Let's go get some of the wonder of God. Let's go see God begin to put a thrill back into our lives. Let's serve him till he comes, gets us. Amen? Amen. We're on the winning side. Let's pray, shall we?